We're continuing on our study through this book, Paul Law, when trying harder isn't good enough. And we're on lesson five tonight, which is the fall of man. And our text is Genesis chapter 3. So if you turn there with me, we'll read that together. So, Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1, says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Right, so as we look into this, we want to understand the full impact of the fall of man and just what happened, how Satan tricked man, and really understand that there's been a real problem ever since as a result, right? So we're going to begin here. Let me just get to the right text here. Okay. So when we first kind of want to understand the full impact of the fall of man, we have to first understand the state in which man was created. Okay? And so many people assume that Adam was created perfect and holy. Okay? And we want to understand it wasn't exactly correct. Because Adam was created innocent. Okay? And he was created neither holy nor unholy. Okay? And so, because he was in an innocent state, no modification of his behavior was needed. Okay? He had no other system of management that he knew in his state of innocency. He only knew God's system of management, and he was submissive to that system of management. And what is God's system of management? What did we understand it to be? What's that?
No, God's internal system of management.
Yeah.
About, like, it's God's spirit speaks to our spirit.
Yeah, and so yeah. Okay. Well, I guess the words I'm looking for is internal persuasion. Okay, because we learn about that. That God's spirit speaks to our spirit. The spirit directs the soul. The soul then governs and directs the body, so that then the body fulfills the will of God. Right. That's how we're supposed to work, and so that's how Adam lived his life. His spirit governed his soul and his body according to the directives he'd received from God. Okay? And so, what we see described in Genesis chapter 3 is essentially the first conflict between God's internal system of management and Satan's external system. Okay? And so we see that. It's the first management conflict between God's internal system of management, of internal persuasion. Well, we learned that last week, of Satan's external system of external pressure. Caleb, if you can just close that window and lower the blind so that way we're not getting the light on there. You'll have to close the window first. Thank you. All right. You'll have to close the blind too, please. Thank you. Excellent, thank you. Okay, so as we look at this conflict, it's important for us to realize what was going on, because for the first time, outside pressure was being brought to Adam and Eve through the serpent, who is Satan, right? And Satan's goal was to get man to disobey what God had commanded. And if he could succeed, he would gain control over the soul of man. So Satan used the things of the world, which are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that we discussed in the last chapter, to accomplish his purpose. Okay? And so we see that. The Bible says that the tree was good for food. So that appeals to the lust of the flesh. Then it says the tree was pleasant to the eye. So that appeals to the lust of the eyes. Finally, the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So that appealed to the pride of life. And so these outside pressures influenced Eve to exercise her freedom of choice and disobey God's direct command. Okay? So we want to consider that external influence on Eve, okay? And it won because Eve took the fruit and ate it, right? So for the first time, her behavior was governed by her soul rather than by her spirit, right? And it's some to understand this truth, that you will not obey God if you don't have your spirit under control, to his spirit, right? If you're not listening to his spirit, you're going to listen to other influences, right? And so following the dictates of her soul, her mind, her will, and her emotions, she violated the boundary God had set for her and her husband. Okay? Satan secured control over Eve's soul by the outside influences he used against her. And once he'd gained control, he could manipulate her behavior just like you'd use a joystick to control a video game. And so by using all three elements of the world, Satan relocated each control from her spirit to her soul. And it's the thought that when you're focused on having what you want to have, on doing what you want to do, and being what you want to be, rather than on God's purpose for your life, your soul is under the devil's control. It may not be satanic possession, but it's nonetheless satanic oppression. It's this outside pressure, okay? And that was the problem, is that we understand is that Eve was more focused on what she wanted to have and do and be, rather than God's purpose for her and Adam's life in the Garden of Eden, okay? And so we want to understand, just as with Eve, so the same with us, by using the things of this world to tempt each portion of our soul, the devil is working to get us to abandon God's system of management. And if we allow him to gain dominance over any portion of our soul by yielding to outside pressure, we've given him a position from which he can govern our behavior. Okay? So then we understand that Eve's failure began with the lust of the flesh. Her mind dwelled on the appearance of the fruit, okay? She decided that it would be good for food, despite the fact that God specifically commanded the fruit from that tree not be eaten. As she thought and meditated on it, the attractiveness of the fruit outweighed her commitments to obedience, okay? And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, behind every tragedy of human character is a long process of wicked thinking, okay? behind every tragedy of human character is a long process of wicked thinking. Okay? Alright, and then Eve's failure continued with the lust of the eyes. Okay, the lust of the eyes began to impact and compel her will. She coveted and desired something that she knew she was not supposed to have. Right? And if you allow your appetite for things you know are wrong to be your focus, you'll find a way to fulfill that appetite. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the moment Eve contemplated to reach out and take the fruit of the tree, she lost control of her soul. Eve's final failure was that she fell into the devil's pride of life technique. Okay? Because the devil told her that by eating this fruit, it would make her like God. She would know good and evil. And you think about it, she already knew what good was, right? She knew God. And he was as much good as she would ever need to know. And the more she knew of God, the more and more she would know of good, right? And the thing was, it was like knowing good and evil. Why did she need to know evil? There wasn't any value in that, and she soon found that out. And that's the thing, is that what the devil was offering her is half of it was what she already had in spades, and the other half was something that she didn't really need or want, right? And so all she got out of the bargain was to know evil. And that knowledge came from the one who was now in control of her soul. Okay? And so she wanted to be something God did not mean for her to be. That it wasn't for something for her to be lifted up and to become a God herself, right? And so her emotional response to a good thing, being like God, overwhelmed her judgment against using a bad means to a good end, right? But it's like God wants us to be like Him, but in a good way of transforming us, right? And it isn't this idea of taking control of things and becoming God and kind of fighting against God, right? You never please God by doing what He's commanded you not to do, regardless of what your motive is. Okay? And Satan, of course, is not content with merely deceiving Eve, and he'll never just stop until he's destroyed everything that he can. His real focus was to gain control of Adam. And the Bible doesn't tell us how Adam responded to Eve's mistake. It simply says that when Eve gave him the fruit, he did eat. And so the devil used the same tactic of outside pressure to gain control over Adam. And we realize that the means of the outside pressure was Eve. She gave Adam the fruit. And it's something where sometimes that's what happens. The devil can deceive someone else and then use that person to attack us. And we have to be wary of that. And we understand that Eve gave Adam the fruit. And the thing was is that Adam knew from the very beginning that what she had done was wrong. God's commandment had been very clear God said to him, you can eat all these trees, you can't eat this one. If you do, you're going to die. There was no wiggle room there, right? And so when he finds that his wife had violated God's boundaries and he knew the consequences, it sat down. You just never know with his thinking. Maybe he was worried that if because she had done this and she would die, maybe he thought, well, I was alone and I was lonely, that basically I'm going to be alone again. And so maybe he thought, well, I want to be with her, and so I'm going to be willing to go with her in this terrible mistake. You don't exactly know. But we realize that Adam also allowed his soul to overrule his spirit. He whether it was his emotions or just his thought process being a wrong thought process, we don't know. But we know that he ate of the forbidden fruit. And we realize that when sin entered the soul, man was plunged into darkness. In the Bible, darkness is a symbol of a lack of spiritual direction. And so by violating God's boundaries, Man incurred the death penalty. It's true that physical death entered the world with the fall, but in examining God's response to Adam's sin, we see another kind of death as well. And we see that God said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree. That God here is identifying the point at which Adam succumbed to Satan's external system. Right? Rather than listening to God's voice, speaking to his spirit, he listened to the voice of his wife, who had been listening to the voice of the serpent. And so he yielded to her outside pressure instead of to God's command. And he allowed that outside pressure to govern his behavior. And forced to choose between the internal control of the spirit and the external control of the devil working through his wife, Adam chose to do something that he knew was wrong. And so then we want to notice God's reaction. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and so thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And it seems to contradict what God first told Adam, because he said in the day that Adam ate the fruit, he would surely die. And so did God change his mind on the punishment for sin? Did he lie when he told man he would die? Not at all. We realize God always keeps his word. And so we recognize that death occurred in the Garden of Eden. Right? Because some did die that day. It was the spirit of man that died the minute Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. And we realize that with a dead spirit, man could no longer hear from God internally. And so he was plunged into darkness. Okay? And so that, because he was in darkness, he was unable to discern the proper spiritual direction to follow. Without the personal relationship he had once enjoyed with God, walking in fellowship daily, so man had to try to find a way to do good in his own power. And so, since that day in the garden, man has continually searched for a way to modify his behavior. Sometimes it worked, as was the case with Abel. Sometimes it did not work, as the case with Cain. But man started coming up with his own plan to modify his behavior. He would try hard to do better, and he would try to do good and be good in his own power. So that was his whole focus. And so to do this, his body would then react to good or bad external pressure and dictate to the soul the direction he wanted it to go. Okay, and the soul, using the mind, will, or emotion, would attempt to discern if the outside pressure was good or bad. And if it was good, he would yield to it and do good in his own power. If he didn't care one way or another, he would simply yield to the desires of his body. Of course, our body, in its now corrupt nature, housed sin in its members. And so we would eventually require an enforcing authority to get us to act right and to reject the wrong desires of the body. Okay. So, yes, Caleb? Yeah, it didn't skip the page. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so were there any that we needed to go back on that you missed, or? Okay, well, we'll fill it in afterwards. Okay, so now we have the study questions. So this is just kind of to see what we've brought in. So as described in Genesis chapter 3, what is the first conflict between God's internal system of management and Satan's external system? Yeah, the temptation in the Garden of Eden. Whoops, sorry. All right, it's temptation of Eden and Adam, which resulted in the fall of man. Okay. So the external influence won the battle. Eve took the fruit of the tree and ate it. What happened the minute Eve took of the fruit and ate it?
Her
And what governed her behavior?
She
yeah. And what was governing her behavior?
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So the spirit within Eve died, and she was governed by her soul rather than her spirit, right? Because she lost that. She was plunged into darkness. Okay. Okay, so the Bible does not tell us how Adam responded to Eve's mistake. So how do you think that Adam responded? Yeah. And, like, we don't exactly know, like, there is some surmising that perhaps she was worried about being alone again and that's why he took it, we don't know. But we realize he allowed his soul to overrule his spirit. And so instead of continuing to be governed by the inner persuasion of God's command, he yielded to the outside pressure from the devil through his wife. And so he allowed that outside pressure to govern his behavior, right? And that's what got him into trouble. And so ever since then, that's how we function. When we don't, we're not saved, we don't have a relationship with the Lord, is that we basically, we rely on outside pressure to influence the body, and then the soul has to decide if this good or bad. But we realize that because of sin, really our desires, our discernment and our will in many things has been corrupted, and so we tend often to pick things that aren't good for us, or we get deceived, and just like Adam and Eve, what the devil offers us seems good, and we submit to it, and it ends up being a disaster. And so we want to realize that. But the whole idea is, okay, we're doing something. This bad behavior bring bad consequences. I need to try to fix, I want to change my behavior, so I'm going to try hard to do better. I'm going to do good in my own power. And that's what we're going to deal with next week, which is behavior modification, man's plan. And just how, ever since then, this is what man has tried to govern by. And it's not, it's not God's plan. It's our ways. It's not His ways. His ways are higher. And so, but we do want to understand that, because there's so much that's focused, and we're going to get caught in that trap of just trying hard to do better instead of finding God's way, which is best. So any questions or thoughts as we conclude? All right, well, we'll just conclude in prayer.